Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. And Lou has been speaking with the author of a book, to which Lou has become a contributor. Very exciting. Terry Iverson is president and CEO of Iverson & Company. It's a machine tool distributorship and precision lathe rebuilder in Illinois. And Terry has written a fascinating book, and I think it's an appropriate book, called Finding America's Greatest Champion, Building Prosperity Through Manufacturing, Mentoring, and the Awesome Responsibility of Parenting. So, exciting book. Lou, you have talked with Terry on this a bit and even become a contributor. That's an interesting twist.
Yeah, it really is. I didn't know that we have now become champions, so I'm excited. I did get to read it, and the book is made up of various chapters of various companies who, according to Terry Iverson, has named us as champions. So I'm really excited for him, who has done this task. And it's all based on his background and his passion and so on. So why don't we get Terry up here and let's let him start talking about this. This is a little different for our interview types, but this is great. I love it.
Good morning, guys.
Terry, welcome to the show. Yeah, Terry, why don't you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write a book? I mean, a lot of people say, I want to write a book. But, okay, you actually did it. So give us your inspiration.
Well, there's a couple things that inspired me. One is that my family's been in manufacturing in different facets for about 93 years now, going way back to my grandfather in the 1920s. So I feel compelled that manufacturing's been really good to both myself and my family. Two, there's a number of people over the years that I've run into that I've become friends and acquaintances with that have really been dedicated to mentoring young people within the industry, within manufacturing. And there's a number of people in the Chicago area. Harry Mosier, with his reshoring effort, his reshoring initiative, was one of the beginning inspirations probably 20, 25 years ago. But there's others in the book that I interview. There's a gentleman by the name of Bob Weisite and John Winsler, to name a couple, that have been ingrained into the fabric of young education, technical education, and they have done it for a very long time. So that's a couple of inspirations.
Before you go further, Terry, I just want to let you know that Tim and I know Harry Mosher quite well, and it seems as though wherever we go in the country to an event, a seminar, a conference, an exhibit event, Harry always shows up. He's always there, and he's quite a guy, and he's done a lot of great things, particularly with the reshoring story of how we're bringing manufacturing back from overseas to the U.S. So I just want to give Harry that little bit of a plug. So carry on, Terry.
Well, Harry's to coin a term that I use a lot, champion, obviously. He's a true champion in our industry. And in conversations that he and I've had, you know, we talk about, you know, if we get all these companies, which he's been very successful at reshoring, well, you know, what we want to make sure we have is adequate labor and manpower and brilliant minds to make the products when we bring it back over.
Now, Terry, you have the word champion is actually an acronym within the book. Can you explain that to our listeners?
It is. I served on a CTE Education Foundation with Brian Albrecht from Gateway Technical College for a year. And on a plane, prototypical, you know, on a napkin, I just started writing down changing manufacturing, changing American manufacturing or advanced manufacturing. And it, you know, very quickly I came up with CHAMP. And so basically it stands for Change How American Manufacturing is Perceived in Our Nation. And, you know, as much as I, you know, I pride myself in being, you know, humble and very low key, you know, I didn't put much thought to it until people said, that's awesome. And the now part of it is just the call to action. So, you know, champion now, the now with an explanation point means, well, we got to actually do something about it now.
That's terrific. It's really terrific.
Makes a world of sense. Now, can you share, and then I don't want to preempt anything that you're planning to do with the book, can you share some of the contributors to the book with our listeners? Great.
Sure. I mean, I just wrote some notes down before we went on live, and I have 14 chapters, and one of my strategies, guys, was to make this a manufacturing book that had way more to offer than just a manufacturing storyline. My concept is we need to get out of our fraternity or sorority that we reside in within manufacturing, and we need to get out to the general public and everyone that doesn't know about manufacturing to make an impact. So, for example, I have a lot of, you know, manufacturing people in the book, some of which I've mentioned. Warren Young from Acme Industries, Jim Brizolera from Hydroforce, and Al Carlson from Sun Hydraulics, just to name a few. But outside of that, there's acquaintances of mine, you know, Tony Schumacher from NHRA, Top Fuel drag racing champion. He's in the book, a friend of mine who has a TV show from the media called A Piece of the Game that comes on after the Cub games. He's in the book speaking about the media. I've got a number of educators in the book that talk about it. Some NFL announcers, Frank Frangie from the Jaguars and Wayne Larrabee from the Packers. And then a young man who just was drafted, his story, he was just drafted in the first round of the NFL draft this year, Hayden Hurst, a little bit of his story. And then some young entrepreneurs that went to school with my daughter, Dana Ward, who I coached in soccer. She came up, she's an entrepreneur that came up with a spray for women to avoid blisters on their heels called Pre-Heels. And then a young man who invented something called the air hook when you travel to have a place to hang your coat and your device and your beverage when your tray is in the up position. And then last but not least, or for now, family members. You know, I have an uncle, two uncles, and a father, in addition to my grandfather, that have been in the manufacturing industry and a little bit of their legacy and our family's legacy as well.
So which one of those is Manufacturing Talk Radio?
I left out the media part. So in the media part, I have a number of people listed. I have Lou Weiss, obviously. You're in Chapter 3 in your program. And I mentioned people that have done and gone out of their way to promote manufacturing careers and make a difference. Titan, who's making quite a splash out in California, Titan Gilroy, he's listed in there. And some apprenticeship and internship programs are spoken about. And then Jeremy Bout with Edge Factor. He's been a close associate for probably 6 years now, and he's also in the book.
So let me ask you a couple of deeper dive questions here. Mm-hmm. You've been in manufacturing and distribution for quite some time, correct?
Yes, 38 years to be precise.
38 years. You have a young voice. But I beat you. I have 55 years.
Oh my gosh! God bless you.
Yeah. So, thank you. So you've been in manufacturing. Your family's been in manufacturing, and obviously you got a passion. Give us some idea of the very, because I see your chapters are very diverse in where they are coming from and talking about manufacturing. So can you give us a couple of those stories so that our listeners can see, you know, perhaps a benefit for them to pick up this book and read it?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to talk about, I'll start off by saying I coin a term called return on education. And basically I look at, you know, the educational path for young people as an investment, which of course it is. But I challenge people to think twice about going the prototypical path of, you know, becoming a doctor or a lawyer or something else, unless their passion aligns with that. Student debt is such a huge problem in this country, and I've been mentoring young people for almost my entire life. And so I list and go into the fact that, you know, in the trades and in manufacturing, there's a much more efficient time-wise and financial investment-wise path to success if it aligns with your passion. In addition to that, one of the main things that I believe strongly in is mentoring and parenting principles. And so I'm very proud of the fact that I have 3 adult children and 6 grandchildren. And mentoring is such a huge component for me and I think the people that inspired me. So I talk about a little bit about parenting, and I talk a great deal about mentoring and our social responsibility for us to give back to the next generation and mentor them appropriately.
I think that the Tim and I have been doing Manufacturing Talk Radio now for, I think November, this coming November is going to be 5 years. And one of the things that we've seen along the way is how, you know, manufacturing has been viewed as dark, dirty, and dangerous. And as you pointed out, that parenting has been directing and guiding kids to go to college, which only 60% graduate, 40% wind up with a $200,000 debt that takes them 3 decades to pay off. And we've been working with, for example, New Jersey MEP, who is very dedicated to helping to guide young people through STEM programs and career path selection. So we've been involved in that now for 5 years as well. And just as one quick story, and we'll get back to yours. We appeared at Manufacturing Day a couple of years ago, and we had a booth set up here in New Jersey. And I took a godson of mine to the event, and he's involved in sports and so on. And I wanted him to get a feel for other opportunities other than the college route. So, you know, taking classes in technical skills and so on and so forth. And he loved it. He loved the event. He loved the day. It was a full day event. And about 3 weeks later, I said, "So what do you think of, you know, the day with MEP? And he says, "Oh, great." He says, "I'm going into radio." I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, what a great experience." He said, "I'm going into radio. I want to become a sports announcer." And he now has been taking, he's the number one sports announcer at his school. He's gone to a summer camp that's dedicated to radio and TV announcers. So here I was guiding him to manufacturing, and we went off track, but I was glad that he got something out of it. So that was a lot of fun and quite shocking also.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, one of the things, Lou, that I talk to is you know, it's okay and it's fine if manufacturing's not for certain young people. I get that. It's just that there's so many that don't even know anything about it.
Correct.
And so that's kind of true to my point, but Frank Frangie, he's a play-by-play announcer for the Jaguars, and his path to finding his passion is in somewhat similar to the story you just told.
It was an amazing event, and I follow his career now very, very closely.
That's awesome.
Terry, I'm just curious, because Lou and I are very pro-manufacturing, and we've made all of our efforts towards putting the positive spin on why you should consider going into manufacturing, even though you might end up in radio broadcasting. What was the reaction of the people that you talked to in the media about manufacturing, where I often hear it still portrayed as dark, dirty, and dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, that's one. There's two issues that I have. Is one, how we measure manufacturing impact in this country. A lot of the numbers talk merely about the number of people employed and not the impact. So that's one issue I have that's out there. The second thing is the perception that is put out there that is really antiquated and, you know, probably 30 to 50 years in arrears in terms of what the reality is. I was on a TV show a number of years back, and there's a financial analysis analyst that spoke how she thought it was very counterintuitive that I said that there was a future in manufacturing. And that was another thing that inspired me, is that what people think and what their perceptions are, especially in the media, is not what the reality is. And with the computerization and automation that has you know, entered all of our lives, but, you know, in manufacturing as well, there's been a significant and huge change in the challenges, in the intrigue, and in the work climate, so to speak, that exists. But when I talked to Donnie, who's a TV producer and had his various TV shows and whatnot, he agreed that, you know, it's an uphill struggle and it's an uphill battle. But, you know, the more we preach about it, so to speak, and the more we talk about it, about what reality is, then the better case we have of making an impact. And I really go back to my audience that I'm preaching to is not just manufacturing, but well beyond that, and to try to really show what reality is.
The manufacturing aspect is, I think, driven largely today by technology and the new toys and the new, where you can operate an incredibly large multifunctional machine with an iPad, and kids get off on that. And I think that has had a lot to do with this migration towards manufacturing, plus the fact you make a lot more money in manufacturing as a startup individual than you would if you come out as a school teacher, a social worker, you know, which are all very vital and necessary jobs. But if you're looking for money, you might get more of that and more rewards going into a manufacturing environment with all the toys they have. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, Terry, so just stick with us and we'll see you on the other side.
Sounds good.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
How do you keep your business humming? Where do you go when you're looking for quality suppliers of new equipment, components, MRO supplies, repair services, or even raw materials? 30 years ago, you would have turned to the Thomas Register. Today, those big green books are better than ever at thomasnet.com, industry's leading platform for product sourcing and supplier discovery. You can easily find that local machine shop, national distributor, OEM, or any supplier having the right quality certification, fast and free. You can even get to specific products, components, or downloadable 3D CAD drawings simply by entering specifications or part numbers. There's a reason ThomasNet.com has become the go-to supplier discovery tool for procurement professionals and engineers. There's simply no other resource like it, and it's all free. Go to ThomasNet.com today and see how top-notch supplier discovery doesn't have to put a dent into your bottom line.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
And we are back with Terry Iverson, who is the president and CEO of Iverson and Company up in Illinois. I say up in Illinois because I happen to be in Atlanta. He has written a book called Finding America's Greatest Champion. And Terry, we are going to have a link on our website, mftalkradio.com, that takes the visitor to this particular interview. They can listen to it. There's also going to be a link on it to your Kickstarter campaign, where you're raising funds to publish, I don't know, a million copies of the book or whatever you're going to publish to get it out there. Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about this particular book? I mean, I find it fascinating that someone's actually put together this compilation work. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners to titillate them and to come and get your book?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that as I look at my notes, I have a couple authors that I interviewed for the book. Nicole Martin, who talks about the talent emergency in this country. Also, Vince Bertrand from Project Lead the Way. He's president of Project Lead the Way. The fact that we have so few women, I know you guys have a radio program as well, Women in Manufacturing, and Jennifer McNally, who was formerly of the Manufacturing Institute, she was interviewed and is a good friend of mine. We served on a committee down in Florida together. There's two educational models and a lot of educational input, GPS Educational Partners up in Wisconsin and Cardinal Manufacturing up in Wisconsin. One is they put education within a company, that's GPS, and the other is they have a company within a school, a manufacturing company within a school, which is Cardinal Manufacturing. We will be at IMTS at the Student Summit, and if you wouldn't mind, I could give you my booth number if that's okay.
Go for it.
It's booth number 215313, and it's in the North Building, and I believe the basement level, in the Student Summit. And we'll have banners and books and some of the people I've interviewed. I hope to have them at the table, if not myself, for a large portion of the time as well.
Now, for those of you who are not familiar with IMTS, it's the International Manufacturing Technology Show. It's September 10 through 15. So if you're listening to this live, you've got just enough time to get your pass and your plane ticket. It's at McCormick Place in Chicago. So that's why Terry was referring to where his booth is in the levels, because McCormick Place, I really want the golf cart concession in McCormick Place to take people around these shows, because they're massive. And this one's going to be a fascinating one for all of the new technology that's happening in manufacturing. I know, Terry, that you're excited about some of this new technology, because that's what's really driving the younger generation to manufacturing, is the really cool stuff that's happening. It's a very, very different world than it was even 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I actually, in one of my chapters, I call the next generation, whether it be the millennials or beyond, the solution generation. And part of one of the points that I make is that there's so much technology in these young people's lives right from the time they're an infant on, and there's so much technology in our manufacturing sector, in our world, it's a perfect match.
No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, I was just reading this morning that they're putting an 88,000-pound or something like that machine out on the ocean to gather up plastic trash that somebody's invented. You know, and it's a younger mind that comes up with these inventions. As a matter of fact, I told my kids, really, I've insured your future. Our generation has insured your future, because we have so badly screwed up the planet that you have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the younger generation is at. They're looking at the mess we made and trying to figure out how to make it better.
Well, I think the younger generation wants to be and thrives to be a part of something bigger and something, you know, vast and make a difference. And what better way to make a difference than invent and build the products that make all of our lives better? And that's a big component of what we do.
Just as a add on to that point, about a year ago, I went to an event on a Saturday morning that appeared in every library in the state of New Jersey. And they had kids submitting inventions that they made and created. And they showed it. And the library I went to, there were about 10, 15 booths of these kids that invented stuff. And it was so incredible and so inspiring. And we were there and we interviewed a bunch of these kids and about their products and so on. And the one thing, and I haven't picked on the media yet today, so I may as well start now. I did call as a favor to MEP. I called two of the local newspapers. Again, this was a Saturday morning. It's like dead in the news world and the news cycle. I suggested that they come and do what I was doing, interviewing the kids, get it out there, put it in the newspaper, and make this information more available with a positive, passionate spin. And guess what? They didn't show up. So that's one of the problems that we have, because we only have a one-topic news cycle nowadays. And I don't want to get into talking politics, because I don't want to step on your segment here, but that is a problem. And that's one of the reasons why Tim and I started Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we started Women in Manufacturing a year ago, because they're one of the underutilized resources that we have, and we have fewer and fewer people, and skills are beginning to dwindle. So let's use everybody. Get women involved, and they are. Matter of fact, I call this the year of the woman, because it's really quite incredible what's happening in the political arena, in the manufacturing arena, and so on. So that's my little side story.
Two or three things that if I could add.
Sure.
As far as women in manufacturing, Allison Grealis is also a participant in this book.
Right.
To your point about inventing products, John Saunders of NYC CNC YouTube fame, he was an inventor that basically taught himself manufacturing and puts all sorts of YouTube videos on display for us to learn from. There's a gentleman down in Florida named Mark McCombs that does a huge Lego robotic program for most of the state of Florida, and that's how a lot of our young people can find their way into manufacturing careers is through Lego robotic competitions.
I think that we're going to have some of your people on our show.
Oh, there's a great group of people, there's no doubt.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that at another time, but you seem to have really tapped into quite a collection of dedicated, passionate people.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Terry, we appreciate you being on the show. We agree with you that the next generation, both the millennial generation and Gen Z, are generations that want to contribute something. They don't just want to fly a cubicle for the next 40 years. They want to actually see what a difference they made in this great big world of ours. So we'll be excited about the things that they bring to the table out of their brilliant young minds. And we appreciate you sharing with us the book that you put together to help stimulate some of those folks to take a serious look at the opportunities in manufacturing. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you guys for having me on, and I'm sure I left a number of people out of the interview that are in the book, so that would encourage more people to read the book. But I can't express enough gratitude to you guys for having me on today.
Well, we thank you for that, and I wish you luck, one, with the book. I wish you luck down at IMTS starting next week, and let's give your website address again for those who just recently joined us?
Well, the website of the organization is championnow.org, championnow.org, and there's a link to the book on there, which goes over to the Kickstarter page. And so that's probably the easiest. And I think you put a link on your Manufacturing Talk Radio site as well, right?
We did do that.
Right.
Like I said, you can send us a commission check anytime you like.
Just like we talked before, the check's in the mail, Lou.
That's right. That's great.
If you want to get a hold of Terry's company, it's Iverson and Co. IversonAndCo.com, and his email address is tiverson@iversonandco.com. Terry, again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, guys, and have a great day.
You too. Take care. Good luck with the show.
All right. Thanks again. You too.
Bye-bye.
And we've been speaking with Terry Iverson, who's president and CEO of Iverson and Company, a operation for machine tool distribution and precision lathe rebuilding in Des Plaines, Illinois. Thanks to everyone for listening to Manufacturing Talk Radio. Terry was kind enough to mention our sister show, Women and Manufacturing, which is at womenandmfg.com. And all of our other shows are at mfgtalkradio.com. Lou, interesting that you became part of the book, and Terry looks like he's got I don't know if it's a bestseller, but it's going to be a great seller on his hands.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that needs to get out to the public so that they have a better insight into what manufacturing is all about, because people still manufacturing to a great extent, they see the dark, dirty, and dangerous. So they got to see that it's evolved. Technology has helped to make these changes. We have a active and proactive group of young people who really are interested in this. They're interested in creation, and they may not be necessarily as anxious to go to college, which you can always do. You can go through a skills school and learn a trade. And the way you build up in that while you're working is to go to school and get credit. A lot of manufacturers today are supporting that by paying the tuitions. They are desperate to have new people come in because they're losing the baby boomers through death, dying, and suicide. And one of the best things that I've seen was where companies, when they get a notification from a particular longtime employee that, hey, I'm retiring in 6 months, I give you notice. And then they come back with, well, I'll tell you what, stay a year and I'll give you besides salary, we'll give you a bonus and you will train your replacement. And that replacement may be
right.
A 22, 23-year-old kid. You can't let the brain power get lost. And that has happened without a whole lot of forethought by the manufacturers. And and hopefully Manufacturing Talk Radio and Women in Manufacturing has helped to bring some of this information to the manufacturing interested public. Because you're not going to hear this on mainstream media. Like I said, it's a one-topic media event that we're having in this country.
It is sadly a one-topic event. The media does not pay attention to manufacturing other than to mention around the first of the month that the ISM number is X, Y, or Z. So I'm glad we're doing what we're doing.
Which, by the way, the job numbers came out today, and it's for August, and it was 201,000 new jobs. Unemployment has dropped to 3.9%, which I think is a historical low.
Approaching it. We've bumped around 3.9 and 3.8. Lou, I don't know. I've done some research in the area, but I can't tell you what the lowest unemployment rate is. It's an interesting point.
We're going to know on the next show, aren't we?
You're right.
Okay. I think that's a wrap. Tim, good talking to you as always.
Good to talk to you, Lou, and thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.